This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear. Really? But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. Thanks for tuning in to this weird-ass show where you are our friend. You're our best friend. We're going to invite you into our club.
We're going to invite you to send us beer.
That's right.
And we're going to drink it and tell you about it while you don't drink it with us. And we just tell you about stuff we're drinking.
That's right. And then you have to call us uncle. That's the other part of it. How cool is that?
Yeah. We're like your best friend at the bar that really knows his beer, or at least pretends like he really does.
That is 100% true. Brian, how do people send us beer, by the way?
Well, you would email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. And I got that email before Brian, too, joined us. So I think if he gets his email on the Brewing Network, it'd have to be Brian, too, or Char or Esquire or something different.
Right.
But I haven't had a Brewing Network email in like a year, and it's worked out okay, so I'm probably fine.
I think you're doing all right. You're just better than most, Brian. Yeah. That right now.
If you want to contact Brian, just go on schmuck.com.
look for my picture on a bus bench somewhere near you with injured? Question mark. Yes.
I can't help you with that, but...
Eager car chasing lawyer.
If you have an idea that you want patented, please contact me.
Char at crosspondlaw.com.
There we go. Free plugs.
There you go. I plugged my pluggables.
There you go.
Have you invented a square version of the wheel?
That's right.
Don't call me with that one. I have some other guys I can refer you to on that.
On the show today, we have Christopher with a Pilsner, and we have another Chris with an American Strong Ale, which apparently is an Arrogant Bastard clone or something like that.
Yeah,
right,
I believe
Brian?
It is. We'll have to talk to him about that.
And that's Chris we had on the previous show, too, with the American Stout. So if this beer is anything like the American Stout, I think we're going to like it.
Mm-hmm. Chris is a repeat offender, as we like to call them here on the show.
That's right. But before we get to any of our offenders, I want to thank Five Star Chemicals. Go to 5starchemicals.com. They will help you. That's just it. If you have any questions at all, if you need help with like rent control, or if you want to like need help picking out a pressure washer, if you need help changing your oil, if you need help sighing into the microphone, they can help you with all of that kind of stuff. You know, so go to 5starchemicals.com today, right now. Do it. Look at all the fun stuff that they have. There's actually a lot of technical information on there, too.
And
they do a lot of write-ups on how to use their products properly and all that kind of stuff. So
you'll see them all the home brewing or brewing-related shows. I'm sure they do the craft brew one, too.
Craft Brewers Conference?
Craft Brewers
I think
Conference
that they do,
thing.
Yeah.
I saw them there last year.
Just go up to them and say hi. I find that when I go up and talk to them, I always have good chemistry with those people.
They're nice people.
Nice chemistry. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
That's pretty basic.
I'm in charge.
I don't have a chemistry pun, and I'm the last one, and I don't have one handy.
That's fine. Howling into the microphone is equally as good as a chemistry pun.
Damn it.
You know what? I think we're... I know for a fact we're drinking a beer, but I forget which Chris sent it. I think it's the first Chris... And we are drinking. What are you knocking on Bev's window?
Chris V. We're looking for Chris V. No. For the pills.
But he sent along a bottle of Bourbon County Stout to the Goose Island, whatever, from 2017.
Yeah. That's. Yeah.
And so I decided let's just open it and we'll sip on it along this journey of homebrew that we have.
Journey of self-discovery and self-actualization.
Yeah.
Via homebrew.
It's not bad. It's still very, very hot, but I mean, I can see why people like it. I don't know. I think I don't want to like it because it's Goose Island, because it's Budweiser. I want to not like it because of that.
No, it's a well-made product. You get a little, as it ages, you get a little more of the soy sauce kind of character in that.
Yeah.
It's
coming, but there's a very nice chocolate character coming through that is quite pleasant.
I agree that it's still a little hot, but it's still young for a bourbon barrel, a big bourbon beer like this. This is still pretty young.
Yeah, it's 3 years old. Actually, I think technically two, because it comes out later in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's take a quick break, everybody, and then we're going to get right back on the line with Christopher, and he's going to tell us all about his Pilsner. We're going to drink it. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to walk away best friends.
We're
hang tight.
We're going to have a good time. We're having a good time now.
We'll
man.
Be right back.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for sticking with us. On the phone, we should have Christopher. Christopher, are you there?
I am. Hey.
Hey, what's going on, dude?
Not much. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just sitting here in a very warm and sweaty studio with two other men.
And boy, it's late at night here. It's, you know, it's a
good time.
We're staring down the 10 o'clock hour here.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it is a pretty good time, man. Let me grab a bottle of Pilsner, and Brian Cooper can fill some time. Hang on.
Wait, I got the second bottle here. So we had one with kind of a low fill, but do you have another one?
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Three bottles, baby.
While you're killing time talking about bottle fill, Christopher, where are you in a homebrew club?
I'm not.
So you are yet another lone wolf on the AHA's watch list of potential homebrew offenders. All right.
Yeah.
You got
don't flag
it.
Me.
Yeah. Or potential homebrew stars. I mean, the TSA might have to give you a hard time getting on a plane if you're a lone wolf homebrewer. I'm just saying.
Right.
Hell yeah, they would. So Pilsner, have you done a Pils before? Is this a new beer for you?
This is the first Pilsner for me.
There we go. Hmm. I like that. Congratulations. How long have you been homebrewing?
About 4 years.
Okay. 4 years, first Pils. Yeah, that's acceptable. Yeah.
Is it your first lager?
No, I did an Oktoberfest last year, but this is the best lager I've done.
Wow, cool. Okay. Just your second lager. Okay, well done. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, Brian Cooper, you look ready. Your engine is revved, baby. Yes. Let's go. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, on the nose, I'm getting sort of a nice hiss when we cracked the bottle there. Getting a bit of a honey-like note in the nose, but also kind of right up front, there's some sulfur going on. And you can have some sulfur in lagers. That's fine. A lot of times it's some DMS, but in this case, I'm getting a little bit of that, the hydrogen sulfide sulfur. It's an eggy kind of a note. But I set it down for a little bit, and I came back and smelled it later, and that's a really kind of fleeting aroma that can dissipate pretty quickly. So when we first opened it and poured it, and I hope Brian poured his and smelled it right away.
I did. I smelled it.
It'll fade before you know it's there. So I'm like, was that really there? okay. The malt is a nice low kind of graham crackery note. It has a low floral hop note. No obvious esters. Not getting any buttery diacetyl or acetaldehyde, any green apple, pumpkin skin. The sulfur distracts a little bit, but again, it fades a bit as it sits for a while. And it's not too prominent at this point at all. It's been like, what, 47 seconds. It's gone.
49.
Yeah. Pretty light yellow beer. Creamy white head that persists for a good while. Mostly finer bubbles. It's a nice looking beer for Pils. The head could be a little longer lasting, but I still give it full points. It's got pretty nice clarity, and seems like a good job there. Flavor-wise, it's a lightly malty beer with a light Pils malt character. I think I would like a little more of the Pils malt character in there. But it's giving kind of a light honey graham note, just not quite as much of that malt coming through as I'd hoped. A bit watery seeming in a way. So It's either on the really on the light side for the style, or you know, the malt is lacking just a little bit. It shouldn't be a super malty beer, but you don't want it to seem like a light American lager, or you know, a light German
beer. A hard seltzer.
A light beer. So the hops are low, floral, background-y with very low bitterness. Really soft and approachable beer. It seems cleanly lagered, and the sulfur is really less of a distraction here in the flavor. It has a semi-dry finish, I would say, bordering on pretty dry. And it is a well-attenuated beer, as you would want it to be. So that's good. A very light-bodied beer in the mouthfeel, medium-low carbonation. No warmth, not very creamy, but it is quenching and crisp. Smoothly drinkable with no astringency or any harsh characteristics at all. It's really smooth. So nice job there. It actually quenches and does the job. Very nice. You know, overall, hey, this is a good German Pils. Your second lager? Wow, I wish my second lager had been this good.
I wish my first lager had been this good. I wish my 12th lager had been this good.
So the main detractor is maybe the high initial sulfur in the nose. I would suggest giving the beer a little more lagering time to condition this out. And you may also consider to combat the what I perceived as the wateriness, and JP and Brian may disagree with me.
Yeah,
bring up the malt or the ABV just a bit to increase the body just a touch and reduce the impression of that wateriness. But it was a really nice, a very, very good beer. I give it a 35.
All right, very good. Mr. Sharp.
All right, yeah, I like this beer quite a bit. Well done for being your second lager ever. I mean, wow, lagers are not always easy, so it's a good job. Aroma, get a low Pils malt aroma, low spicy hop aroma, no esters, fruitiness, or off aromas. Overall aroma is a bit low, which I thought was interesting, but it was good. I did get some sulfur, but I did not feel that any of it was inappropriate. I think maybe my tolerance or acceptance of sulfur in lagers may be higher than Cooper's.
Say acceptance?
Jesus Christ.
I didn't, but I will retcon that I did. I have a higher acceptance of hydrogen sulfide. Maybe as a single guy, I just eat eggs that I don't go to the stores. I'm finishing that dozen, damn it. I'm finishing that Costco pack, no matter how stale they are. But no, I think that, frankly, I think that sulfur note is important for a lager just to kind of show that it is a lager. I mean, I associate that with a lager beer. Yeah.
Lager yeast kicks off a good amount of sulfur. When you're smelling a healthy, vigorous lager fermentation, man, that it can smell gnarly sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking, oh my God, what have I done? And that's just kind of what it does. So, but aroma gave 9 out of 12. Appearance was a 3. It's crystal clear. Low head that is very persistent. Very light straw color. Well done in 3 out of 3. Flavor, the initial flavor is a sort of a crisp, crackery Pils malt. With medium bitterness that comes up to balance in mid-palate. Get a medium spicy hop flavor. It's well attenuated, which I really like, especially for a lager. I mean, that just shows that your process, you really have good control, your fermentation process and your fermentation regime. You're pitching enough yeast, you're fermenting at the right temperature, you're fermenting for long enough that this tastes like a lager and it is well attenuated. It's not some kind of sweet mess. So extremely well done with the fermentation. I mean, we've all had homebrewed lagers that are just not finished, and they're not pretty. The finish is long and balanced, tilted slightly toward bitter, but overall pretty balanced. It's interesting. I haven't read the guidelines for German Pilsner for a while. Mm-hmm. When you look at the 2015 guidelines, it says hop bitterness dominates the flavor. I mean, it should be a high bitterness that dominates. That's kind of an interesting phrase. And I think that I'll save a little bit of this comment for the overall impression, but a little more hop bitterness, I think, would be desirable. Flavor, it gave it a 13. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. Body is medium-low. I mean, I kind of... I don't... Brian talked about it being a little watery. I don't know that I agree. Did you say watery, Brian? Am I putting words in your mouth? I remember you saying that. I don't know that I would agree with it being watery, but kind of, I gave it 5 out of 5 for mouthfeel. I'm not going to change that now. I might step that down a point because it does, the body is a little lighter than I might want.
It is.
Think like Leichtbier or American lager kind of lightness. You know
well, right. Yeah. And it's consistent with my comment with aroma, that the aroma overall is a bit low. So I think that maybe, again, I'm going to keep it at a 5. You know, thinking about this a little more, I might have backed this off to like a 4. Carbonation is great. You know, it's medium high where you want it to be for this beer. And it's hard. Hard when you're packaging homebrew, either if you're bottle conditioning or from a keg, to get the carbonation this high. So that's good job on that. Get slight warming, just a hint. Could have been imagining that. It might have been maybe it was that Bourbon County Stout. I don't know. It may have been that late late coming to the warming. Don't think this is creamy or astringent, which certainly a Pilsner should never be creamy.
Right.
It's not appropriate for that, nor should it be astringent. And I always think it's kind of interesting. You look at the mouthfeel, and like, are you having to pick one of the two? I mean, a lot of beers shouldn't be either one. But any event, 5 out of 5. Overall impression, gave it a 7. I think it's a well-made beer with excellent attenuation, especially for a lager. I think there's good firm bitterness in this beer. I think a little more bitterness would push this more to the really crisp Pilsner. That's kind of the platonic ideal of a German Pils. I don't think it has to be like an IPA level, but I think there's maybe a little more, maybe 10% more might get you to where this is. Because it's crisp, but I think I want just a little bit more personally.
You could do it with water adjustment as well. And if this water is very soft, like a Czech water, you could add a little more sulfate to the mix to let it play off of the hoppiness. And I think that's kind of what they distinguish, in the guidelines. The comparison is between this and the Czech premium pale lager, which is where the Germans, got this from.
Yeah, and that's very right.
Their water's a little more, sulfate rich and not as mineral free as the Czech water, so the hops play differently. They're probably using close to the same amount. The Czech beers use a lot of hops, but they don't come off as bitter and sharp like that.
Well, exactly. I'm looking forward to hearing about Christopher's recipe because, as far as we know, he's using a pound of saws in a 2 gallon batch. So I don't know, but overall, I liked it and I gave this 37, which is
nice.
A score of very good.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said, 100%. I feel like with the mouthfeel this low or the malt this low, the hops are coming across with a little bit of a cinnamon thing, and it's kind of very pleasant. Like it's for me, it's not a German Pils, but what it is very good. It's something completely different and
spiciness.
Just,
yeah,
just like a tiny, like not like oh, it's cinnamon,
imperial cinnamon.
Yeah, but it's,
I could get that.
It's just like a hint of it, and it's it's very good. I could honestly sit. This would be my beer. I could sit.
Beer. Yeah.
I'm guessing it's low ABV, and it's easy to drink, and it tastes very very good. Chris, what's the alcohol on this?
Yeah, I'm getting the cinnamon there.
Yeah, it's a 5.25, actually.
So wow.
As low as you'd like it to be.
Yeah, I would have guessed, honestly.
About 4.5 at the most.
I was going to say 4 for sure. Yeah. Damn, bro. Yeah.
Sounds like somebody got owned. And it wasn't Christopher.
Brian's trying,
we're all wrong.
Brian's trying to be cool again. Do me a favor, man. What's your recipe for this, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did 9 pounds of German Pilsner. This is a 5-gallon batch, by the way. Did 1 ounce of German traditional at 60 minutes, 90-minute boil. And then I did 1 ounce of German Hersbrucker at 5 minutes. And then actually adjusted the water on this one. I used distilled water and added about 100 ppm sulfate and 85 ppm chloride.
Okay.
And then I used the Bohemian lager yeast with quite a big starter on that.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
It's a pretty simple one.
Yeah. So how can he adjust the body? I wouldn't just say add base malt, right? Because I would bump the alcohol up, and I don't think you want. I think a Pilsner above 6% is insane.
I mean, I think maybe it is that just having a little more hops there is going to help it play just a little bit better.
Sort of a low bittering hop bill.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So that was kind of a low bittering hop bill.
I agree. It shouldn't come off as super bitter. But
it did finish really low. It started at 10:43 and ended at 10:03. So that's at the very bottom. Yeah, it's super, super dry. So I think maybe finishing a little bit higher might help.
So what, some like Carafoam or Carapil or something, just some body?
Well, just, getting it to finish just a little higher and not dry all the way out to bone dry.
So how do you do that?
Well, go against our usual advice, and maybe not. I mean, it might be that it was overpitched and just went crazy and drove it all the way down there. But I wouldn't suggest backing way off on the yeast amount. But in this case, if it was that massive pitch that you used, I mean, it did a good job of getting the lager to go and do what it was supposed to. But maybe the yeast got a little lazy and kicked off a little more sulfur, and doing just a little less and dialing that back could dry it out a little less and maybe even fix the sulfur and just, then just let it lager a little bit longer. You can leave it on there a little bit longer. But yeah, I don't know. It's
Or like you were saying, Brian, maybe a little Carapils, Carafoam.
That's a good idea, Brian.
But I want to go back a little bit to what, because Brian, you were talking about the water with regard to the bitterness.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the 100 ppm of sulfites. Sulfites a different thing that gives you a headache. And the 85 ppm of the chlorides. And I wonder, because that's kind of a close to one-to-one. I mean, what do you think? Would you back off on, for a higher perceived bitterness, would you back off a little on the chlorides, maybe to 50 ppm?
Yeah, I mean, the chlorides are going to round out what sweetness is there, but in this case, what sweetness is left is very little anyway. So,
yeah, that's true.
You want to just, get to the right calcium level for this and have it maybe be balanced more to the sulfates, which it slightly is, but, I don't know that the chlorides are too high necessarily. It's not unreasonable level, but play around with the water a little bit. I would say that's probably part of the key here. Also just not having it dry out to almost zero. That's probably the key here.
Chris,
I don't know, man. Yeah. I differ. I disagree with you a little in that I think that a German pills really should be really well attenuated.
Well, yeah, it should be dry.
And I'm always wary of, especially at a homebrew level, having people back off on their pitch. And I guess because
I hesitate to say that too.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about it or anything. I'm just thinking out loud here that I really like the attenuation on this beer. And maybe it was just such, we weren't there. Maybe it was just such a massive pitch, because you can over pitch even at a homebrew level.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that much.
Well, that was going to be my question to Chris. Is Chris, do you feel like you over pitched or it was too much yeast, or what's your gauge on that?
I'm not sure. So I actually did, this was like a two stage starter. So I did, my first one was like 1.3 liters, and then I bumped that up with a 3.5 liter starter. It's a lot of work
for one,
for sure.
One beer, you're making three beers to get to the one.
And what was the batch size again? Sorry,
he said five.
It's 5 gallons.
Is that too much? Is that too much yeast in a 5 gallon batch?
Well, did you pour off the wort and just kind of keep the slurry from your yeast starter?
Yeah, I definitely decanted. And I did pitch it 50, which I know is not high for lager, so I was hesitant to.
That should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to a deep cut here on air as opposed to the one from off air before.
Yeah.
And when Doc was on the session. Mm-hmm. And he was brewing a lot of lagers, 10 years ago. he yeah. would talk about making these ginormous starters for, you know, a 10-gallon batch. Like, he would have like almost like a 2-gallon starter. And, of course, he'd pour off, he'd crash it, get all the yeast out of it. But, you know, he would make these gigantic starters and have award-winning lager.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that sounds like an appropriate amount of yeast. I mean, not an expert but it's on lagers, but it sounds like that's an appropriate amount to me.
What about the mash temp? I mean, the mash temp is the other thing you can mess with a little bit. Was it on the lower side or?
It was about 150.
150 even, yeah. I mean, you could go up to 152, and you could save a couple points of gravity that way with the same yeast and fermentation. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a fine point. It's a really nice beer, and I think we're just picking at nits here in a way. But
that's what the show's about, man.
To get it to the to the 40, getting rid of that the hydrogen sulfide and giving it just a little bit more body is going to help it. That's what I think.
Okay.
What was your fermentation temperature?
Yeah, so I pitched at 50 degrees, let it sit there for about 5 days, and I slowly ramped it up to 60, let it sit there for 3 days, and then I slowly crashed it down to about 38.
Okay. So,
yeah, good job
over
keeping
the course of like
you know,
2 weeks.
I also might consider, you know, you said you used the Bohemian yeast. Now, the Bohemian implies like a Czech beer.
Mm.
And I don't know, you might experiment with it. It sounds, I mean, this beer really was a good attenuator and, you know, good flavor and what have you. You might try one of the more specific, just as you're experimenting and playing around with your beer, you might try more of a German style.
Use the German lager yeast.
Use the German lager yeast instead and see what kind of results that get you.
Yeah.
Weihen Stefaner.
Okay.
Give
it a shot.
Was it Mike McDole always swears by? What is it? The White Labs Bock. What is it? The 838.
Oh yeah.
And I use that one quite a bit when I do lagers, and it works pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of options from all the major yeast manufacturers. German options, but you might try one that's more specifically identified as a German yeast as opposed to a Bohemian yeast, because that might give you a little change in sulfur and a little more of a quote German flavor profile.
Yeah.
No, but Chris, this beer has definite promise, and I think
For sure.
You seem like a thoughtful and deliberate brewer, and you know everything you do has some thought behind it. So you know, keep exploring this path. You're doing something right here for sure, and you can dial it in and get to a competition worthy beer real quick.
Yeah. Hey Chris, did you drop that Bourbon County for us?
No.
That's the other Chris. All right. Well then get out of here.
Yeah.
No other questions. No one cares, dude.
All good? Did it help?
Yeah, you good? You straight?
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Right. Really appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for staying up.
Thanks, man.
With us.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Chris.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, that was a good beer. Yeah. I swear to God, I did not think that was 5.5%.
No, me neither.
It's almost a cruel joke. Because it's just, it was perfect.
Well,
I thought it's really hard to make a lager, and for this being his second lager, it's really, really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break, everybody, and then we're going to come back. We're going to try some American Strong Ale with another Chris on Dr. Homebrew. Hang on.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine, or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
Now, back to the examination.
Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in or staying with us or doing whatever you're doing, man. I appreciate it.
Epic cursing on JP's part during the break.
I don't know, man. Every time I figure out I'm going to have to do a bunch of work, I hate it. I hate it.
Stupid work.
Work is dumb, dude.
Work sucks.
I don't know, whatever. We got Chris back on the line from the earlier show. Chris, are you awake still?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Hell yeah,
cool.
Dude. You're like, yeah, what am I doing? I'm going to sleep.
Pro.
What are you talking about?
So, Chris, while I'm thinking about it, I totally forgot to ask you in the last show because we haven't recorded one of these for so long. Are you in a homebrew club?
No, I'm a lone wolf.
That's three, two episodes. You guys should all get together from this episode and the previous episode and start your own homebrew club, and I'm going to give you the name free of charge. Just use this. You'd be called the Lone Wolves.
For work.
This is gold, and I'm just giving it away. So you're
that is true. Never has so much gold been given away.
the Brewers, formerly known as the Lone Wolves.
Exactly. Well, right. Do you remember the X-Files, and there was that awful spinoff called The Lone Gunman, and there were those three idiots that were all buddies?
Yeah.
And they were
What's
together,
going on, Brian?
They were the Lone Gunman. It's funny.
We got a gusher.
A little gusher? All right. That's all right. That happens. Hopefully.
That's what she said.
All right. All right, Mr. Sharp.
In the second show, if I busted that one out, that was beneath the dignity of Dr. Homebrew. I apologize on behalf.
Are you saying
of
I opened that beer prematurely?
No, I would not say that to you to your face in person. that wouldn't be appropriate.
All right, Brian Sharp, start us off here, bud.
Please.
All right, so this was a little bit of a gusher on opening here in the studio. I had that at home a little earlier today. The aroma, hop aroma is kind of medium citrusy, had a low to medium ethanol aroma, which is consistent with this being American strong ale. Surprisingly, kind of a low malt aroma and no off aromas. And I'll just say up front, you know, it's interesting. Usually you have a gusher, whether it's a mild gusher or not. And it usually implicates wild yeast, wild bacteria. You have some form of phenol.
I almost always expect a phenolic.
Yeah.
Like gnarly.
Plastic, smoky, maybe some clove, sour, whatever. This is
medicine.
Still clean.
Yeah.
This is still a clean beer. So, and I'll skip ahead a little bit. You know, this is a strong ale. A lot of fermentables in here. A lot of things. I suspect that your fermentation wasn't quite done when you packaged, but your packaging technique is sanitary enough that your yeast in suspension continued the fermentation without the wild stuff making it phenolic and nasty.
So, Chris, we'd like to thank you for keeping your package sanitary. We hope you didn't use any Starsen or PBW to make that happen. But
this is the end of the second show, isn't it? This is kind of what happens. But yes, we always. It sounds like this is two shows in a row that this could be a manscaping live read.
Again with the Manscaped, yeah.
Exactly.
Let's not give any free plugs here, Brian. Right. Come on, let's go.
We've got to give them a taste so they might want to sponsor this. Okay, appearance. So I gave the aroma 7 out of 12. Appearance, 3 out of 3. Head is medium. And actually, the pour we just had, the head is gigantic. Kind of an ivory color, very persistent. This beer, this sample is a little more murky than the one that I had at home, but it was never crystal clear. Some haze here, not like in a hazy IPA sense, but there is some sort of a murkiness to this. Color's medium amber. I had given the appearance 3. If I were scoring this sample here, I might give it more of a 2 due to the sort of murkiness of this sample, but I'm going to keep this at what I scored it. Flavor starts off with kind of a low caramel, toffee malt character. In mid palate, the bitterness rises to kind of balance, maybe even a little bit more than balance. It's really well attenuated. The finish is long and it's balanced toward bitterness. I'm going to take a sip of this one as opposed to the one that I had about 3 hours ago. Hang on just a second, because there's nothing like dead air while some guy's drinking beer.
It happens a lot here, and, you know, we've come to embrace it.
The hop flavor is fairly low. A little more would be desirable for this style. I gave this a 10 out of 20. Mouthfeel, what's really interesting is this, probably because the head on this one was so huge, and this did gush some up, but the one that I had at home did also. The body is really kind of almost characterized this as watery, not because of the body per se, but because the carbonation on this is super low in this sample. The one that I scored earlier had medium carbonation. I'd say medium body. I'm going to stick with that. There's low warming, which is kind of surprising. For a strong ale, I expected more of a warming sensation. Not creamy. I got a slight perception of astringency from alcohol. Again, I'm not getting that from this sample. And there's probably some bottle-to-bottle variation in, especially I'm curious about your packaging and how that happened. There can be stratification when you're bottling, whether you're bottling from the keg or especially if you're bottling from the fermenter, you can get some stratification in terms of alcohol depending on how long it takes and so forth. I give it 4 out of 5. Overall impression, despite being a gusher, I didn't get off flavors on this sample or in the one that I had at home. So again, your packaging process is really, you've got a good control over your sanitation, and that's an excellent foundation for anything you're doing in home brewing. For an American strong, I really want more malt complexity, hop flavor, and hop aroma. You know, one of the classic examples is the Stone Arrogant Bastard. And this is certainly not every American Strong has to be a clone of Arrogant Bastard. I'm not saying that at all. But
right.
The Bastard has, you know, it's big, right? It's got a lot of complexity in the flavor and the aroma, not just in hops, but of malt. And I'm just not quite getting that from this beer. And I think maybe something that might solve some of those issues is making sure that you've got the beer fully fermented before you bottle. Thankfully, this is not, there was just a little bit of a gusher. There was not an issue of, you know, overpressure, bottle bombs, what have you. But there's a not just a flavor, but a safety issue for yourself and for others when you're bottling.
No ceilings were harmed in the opening of this beer.
No closets, no ceilings, what have you. And it's I think especially when you're making a big beer like this, you want to either make sure it's sitting in that fermenter for a couple of weeks. You've got a good fermentation. Better yet, use your refractometer, use your hydrometer, check it. You know, check your OG, check your final gravity, see if the beer is down to where you think it ought to be based on the published attenuation percentage of your yeast. And if it's not quite there, you know, maybe warm it up a little bit, wait a little longer, do something, and be sure it's fully fermented out before packaging. So overall impression was a 5. Overall gave it a 29. That's a score of good. Nothing really, I think, bad about this beer. It just needs some fine-tuning to get to being a really good example of the style.
Yeah, agreed.
Tell us how you really feel, Brian.
That's my job. Yeah. I told you how I really felt.
All right, Cooper.
You do such a nice job of being diplomatic here. I'm going to give you the straight scoop here. No,
he's been through a divorce. What do you want?
Okay. The foam crept up out of the neck upon opening, and it's hard as a judge not to let that color your impressions of the beer. And I wanted to find that nasty, gnarly, plasticky or medicinal phenolic in the beer, and likewise I did not. It was not there. So had it open with a nice, slightly fruity, medium-high, piney, resiny hop notes up front, low caramelly, like bready and toasty malt. In the nose, the hops and the malt are kind of nice in a nice balance with each other. There's some firm alcohol apparent, not too heavy, but it's there. I was searching for the phenolic. I really don't think it was there, but I wrote faint phenolic. No, I think it was just like I convinced myself that the resiny hop character was maybe a little phenolic, but it wasn't. I was looking for something that wasn't there, but the aroma was pretty inviting, but there was something that just maybe seemed a little out of place. Again, I'm trying to find that gnarliness.
Can't find it.
It's, yeah. Appearance-wise, this is where I can knock it down. The head was interesting. It came up as a massive frothy attack, very large bubbles, ensuing immediately upon pouring, and it rises up, and then it fades really quick as it's just like, as one of those heads just like comes up, and then it goes down.
Yeah, they were like thick, bigger bubbles.
Bigger right, bubbles, yeah. And they dissipate, and they kind of crackle and pop and fall apart. So like there's not enough, something in the proteins is kind of broken down that won't sustain the head. So I don't know what's going on in there, but, it faded really quick. It's pretty murky. Both samples I had were very hazy. There's a lot in suspension here.
Was a little
Brian struggled to get down to a 2 on appearance, but I knocked it straight down to a 1. I'm sorry.
You show no mercy, man.
I give 1 point for clarity, 1 point for the head, and 1 point for the color being right.
But here's my head. I mean, it's still there.
Yeah, yours is all right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Maybe I can go 1.25.
There we go. See, Chris, don't ever say I don't battle for you, buddy.
But flavor-wise, I got into the flavor. It's pretty nice. It has a pleasant kind of dark caramelly malt with a little resiny, piney hop.
I agree.
That's at a medium-high level, as it should be. Fairly firm bitterness. Finishes semi-dry. Actually, pretty dry. I don't know. What do you think, JP? Dry?
Yeah, I think it's a little too dry.
It's pretty dry.
It's a little, in the aroma, I get like a little plum.
Yeah,
so I'm getting fruity, like, but stone fruity, and I think that kind of just, I don't know. I would bet there's a little contamination, but I think there's too much malt going on. Because isn't a little cloudiness sort of indicative of...
It can be
something living in there.
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
So you got the cloudiness, you got the attack, the strong attack of the head,
the creeping up in the neck,
but no off flavors detectable. But I think because there's so much going on in this beer, maybe you can't taste
it. It's hidden. Yeah. So there is some sweetness in the beer that comes from the caramelly stuff in there, I believe.
Yeah. And that's very pleasant. It's like toasty
Being over, maybe a little over attenuated, it still has enough sweetness to kind of rescue that. It seems like it was a cleanly fermented ale otherwise, with some, a little bit of fruitiness in there. And in a way, though, it's I don't know. I don't want to say watery because it's a kind of a big beer, but like...
That's not watery, but...
No.
Thin?
Thin is maybe a better word. And when I expect And I love Arrogant Bastard. When I drink an American Strong Ale, it's hard for me not to compare it to that. Mm-hmm. And that always has it's a semi dry finish in that beer, but it has the impression of sweetness and boldness and richness. And I even like them as they age past the date that it says on the bottle not to drink them past. Sometimes I like them better then, because that has that malty sweetness that comes across.
Sure.
And the hops have mellowed out a little bit, and it's in a nicer balance for me.
What can we do here? Or what did you give it?
Mouthfeel-wise, medium-bodied, should be fuller. Just a bit of a bite, but not harshly astringent. There's no creaminess, pretty low warmth. Overall, it's a good attempt at American Strong Ale. Just mostly feels lighter than it should be, and a bit, over attenuated, I guess. The hops you used are nice. The malts are pretty nice too. But I struggled with this one to give good feedback. Work to fix that haze, of course. And I don't know, the. You know, something with the proteins or something that's not that the head did such a weird thing.
See, I mean, Brian and I, in our glasses, we still have head. You do not.
I don't know.
That's very weird.
Yeah, and the one
but
that
you
I
had the
earlier,
first pour. I wonder if that may have had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
The top third of the bottle, is it? Yeah, I don't know. I can pour some more. I gave it a 30, though. It's just not quite there. I think I'd like a little more firmly rich malt and alcohol, and
you beat that up more than me, and you gave it a point higher than I did.
Well, I don't know. I like the style.
Diplomatic, yeah. I guess. Well, I mean, it's kind of, is it, you know, compare it to your kick my own ass ale, right?
No, yeah, it's probably better than the one I had on the other show. But I really like the hops that were used in this beer. I'd like to know what was in there. Is it like a Chinook or something, you know, a little gnarly and kind of grape? There's a grapefruitiness in there that I like with the resin.
Yeah.
So, you know, what kind of hops were used? What did it finish at? I'd really like to know.
All right. Well,
what was the recipe?
Let's get the recipe. Chris?
All right. So you guys pretty much nailed it. You guys are pretty amazing. I was trying to emulate the Arrogant Bastard clone, and I did have some issues. I'll run through the recipe, then I'll tell you about my bottling, and I think I know where the issue is, because I couldn't find any out of place things that call for a contamination, but I did have some bottling issues. So my grain bill, once again, was a 2.5 gallon batch from the Pico Brew. I used 8.5 pounds of American Two Row, and then I did 0.5 pound of the Belgian Special B. I mashed in at 148 degrees for 60 minutes. And then I did all Chinook hops, starting at the 60 minute boil with a 1/4 ounce. And then I did 1/2 ounce at 45, 1/2 ounce at 15, and then 1/2 ounce at 5 minutes in the boil.
Such a distinctive hop. Thank you. I love Chinook in this beer, though. That, like, the hop is what partially rescues this.
Yeah, and I love Arrogant Bastard, and I just when I tasted it, I brewed this in the beginning of September, and I tasted good, but it's just definitely not there. I've had both Arrogant Bastards. I even found some in the store that was relatively similar in date of what I brewed, and I knew I was off.
Yeah.
But it was it's kind of there, but it's not there. Right. So I used the WLP 007. Dry English ale yeast. The original gravity was a 1062. I finished at a 1010. Dried out pretty good. But I think to get to my bottling, once again, from the previous show, telling you about my stout. But this one here, once again, is like I kept losing carbonation in my kegs. And for some reason, it was just like I couldn't. There was no leak or there was no nothing. So I had abandoned and I had to do bottle conditioning. But what was really weird is that this beer already had some carbonation in it, but it wasn't fully carbonated. So I ended up putting in, the dextrose and bottled from there. And I think I just overcarbonated the beer, and I think that's where I got a lot of my issues, because I couldn't find any off flavors. But I just think that's where I missed completely, because even I have two more at my house, and when I open them up, it's the same thing. It's like it feels like it's just got that bittering from the carbonation. It's just like, I feel like it's almost like a Belgian style and not really like
yeah.
nailed to
yeah,
bite.
Crackly,
and it makes it feel really thin.
Carbonic bite and just, yeah. I mean, carbon dioxide in water is an acid. It's a solution. It's acidic. It's a weak acid, but it is acidic, and it makes it sharper than the beer would otherwise be, for sure.
I have a dumb question for you. Did you follow Jamil's recipe for the Arrogant Bastard clone from Can You Brew It?
The last recipe I tried to follow, this is my second attempt, and the first time I did it, I put too much Special Bean. I think I don't know what I did. I must have been really high that day.
Oh, every home brewer does at least one beer with too much Special B. It's a rite of passage.
But it does. It gives it that nice raisiny note in there that you want. So yeah. I mean, that's you want a little Special B in this beer for sure. Would you lighten it up, Brian?
I was going to ask that. Like, would you guys bump up the Special B on this? Because the last time, I think I did like 11%, and it was just like,
Never do 11%. No. 11%. But what percentage of Special B is it now?
It's a half a pound in out of a 9 gallon or a 9 pound batch.
I wouldn't go much higher than that. I mean, if you want more Special B, maybe add another ounce or two, but man, little of that goes. I think you're probably about the upper limit of Special B right
now. You don't want any more.
No.
No. Maybe some crystal malt, then maybe bump that up a little bit, but Special B is.
Yeah, like a crystal 180 or something, 150, like a little of that, 120, like a high level of a bond crystal that's going to give you some more layering of flavors that isn't going to be Special B.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would even go like, say, 75-80 maybe, because you want something in the mid-range.
Maybe 100-ish.
Did you have, what crystals did you have in there? I know you said, Chris, but I tuned out.
I had no crystal in there, just a Special B.
Okay, well, then you could do what I was talking about. I think on either with the, I forget what I was talking about, but do a crystal 40 and a crystal 80.
Okay.
And the Special B, so you can layer some of those in there.
Staggered crystals.
Yeah, or a crystal 40 and a crystal 120. You should also go back to the Colin Kaminsky show years and years ago, his 100-grain recipe.
if you can
sit and do it for 10 minutes.
This is the deep cut show.
Yeah, it works really well, where you break down the percentages into single grains. So if you have, 60% of your beer is, Maris Otter, you have 60 grains of Maris, and then you take all those in your hand and you just put them in your mouth and you sort of chew it and you just let your saliva break down the starches and convert this. It kind of gets a little sweeter. And you get a pretty decent idea of at least the layering qualities in this.
Yeah, I love
it. Might work. It might not. I mean, you'll have three crystal malts in there at that point, and that might not be good for your teeth, but...
Yeah. So my malt bill for my kick your own ass is 84% two row, 10.6% crystal 90, 3.6% flaked oats, 1.8% dark Munich, with a little acid malt to get the mash pH down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's just what Pico Brew did with what I gave them for my Arrogant Bastard clone, and it's kind of amped up from there. But anyone's interested can try the Kick Your Own Ass Ale on there and brew it better than I did. Mm. And not let your yeast sit around for too long and without refrigerating it. And you'll hopefully have good results.
Yeah.
But have some fun with it and take this recipe and twist it around a little bit. And I think you've got a good start for sure. Like, the hops are right. There's something a little weird with the overcarbonation is playing weirdly with it. So,
yeah. And I think it's one of the, it's always frustrating when you have keg issues and whatever. So kudos to you for sticking with it and not just dumping everything. And it's, stuff like that, you just got to deal with it when you're home brewing. And it's part of the fun of the hobby is you got to figure out how to deal with things when they go wrong. Not that we don't all have jobs and we have to figure out how we deal with stuff when it goes wrong.
It's true.
But you got to just figure out how to handle it. You did a good job with that. And I think just fixing those issues, which you'll get that chased down and worked out.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that is going to probably buy you 5+ points on your beer right there with nothing else.
For sure. Chris, do you have anything else that has not been said before already?
No, I think I'm pretty good. If you guys think that the hops are the hop schedule is good and it had a good presence in the in there, because I'm just I've been struggling with the Pico Brew. I feel like with my old system, I was getting more hop flavor and aroma. Where now with the Pico Brew, I feel like I'm missing it. But everybody else tells me my beers are good. But if you guys are saying that it had a good schedule and a good presence in them, then maybe it's just my palate and I need to adjust a little bit.
You can set the Pico up to do that. a little whirlpool too, and you know, there's with the you have the Zymatic or the Z. What are you working with?
I have the Zymatic.
The Zymatic, yeah. So you can like actually set it up and just pull out the, you know, set up a pause in the thing and set it up so it'll do a whirlpool at 185 for 20 minutes, and you just pull the whole thing out, and put the whole thing back in with loaded with hops, and let it go with that too. I mean, I've had mixed results with it. Sometimes it comes through right. I do agree. Sometimes with the Pico Brew, it's like the hops just instantly vanish because the wort is flowing through it, and then the wort moves somewhere else, and it's as if the hops all disappeared from your quote kettle, you know. So it's kind of a different animal, and you have to work with it to get the hop levels right on some of these really hoppy beers. But it's, you know, it's worth the challenge. You can definitely get there.
Yeah. It's like any time you change your brewing system or brewing equipment and you make a major change, you have to get used to it. And there are unexpected changes to your workflow and everything else. And like my first time was like, oh crap. I mean, it's simple, and I'm back to doing in my kitchen. And there's just things that I was so used to doing outdoors in a 10-gallon batch that all of a sudden I'm scrambling to do whatever in my kitchen. And it's not that it's good or bad. It's just different, and it takes some time to get used to the differences.
That's right, Chris. Don't ever forget that. These are life lessons.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. We're not just doctors of homebrew. We're doctors of life.
That's true.
Like Dr. Phil.
That's true.
Thanks for being so receptive to our bagging on your beers today. But, no, I mean, really, you're doing
great.
Your beers are clean. You're doing a good job. And
yeah, man.
And again, mostly just a balance issues and a little carbonation issue.
Yeah, please send us some more of your beers in 2020. We look forward to drinking some of those.
Is this one a public recipe, by the way?
This is a public recipe, too,
The name of this beer is?
This is called Captain Chinook.
Captain Chinook.
All right. I love it. All right, Chris, if that's it, we'll let you go, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have
All right,
a good
dude.
Night.
Cheers. Later, man.
Good night.
Thanks, Chris.
Excellent.
Or morning, where he is.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. This has been Dr. Homebrew for January. I appreciate you very much for tuning into the show. If you want to get on the show, like Brian was saying earlier, email brian@thebrewingnetwork.com. The show can't exist without you. So if you want to hear more fun stuff like this, take a gamble. Send in your beer. We're not all that bad. It's
Brian,
all fine.
Brian with an I, by
Brian
the way.
With an I.
Don't email the Y guy. He won't answer you.
Don't do that. Oh, yeah, he might. You never know.
Email is the correct spelling.
There you go.
With the I.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you.